This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 345. Transformers is like Smokey and the Bandit. You don't have to watch any of them. Home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are recovered from our Independence Day celebrations.
I'm recovered from my birthday.
She's mostly recovered from her birthday. That we're gonna hear about on this podcast too, evidently, as it turns out.
No, just that I've recovered from it, and that it was awesome.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
No.
Okay. And we are, I'm not going to say tired.
I'm sick and tired. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired.
But it is definitely a lazy recording day for both Panda and I. But Panda.
Yeah.
How was your week?
It was awesome. My birthday. The end. Like, I feel like that movie, This is the End, should have just been about my birthday party. Like, if This is the End fused with Project X, but with
I was about to say, your birthday was kind of more Project X-like than This
Except
is the
Except it wasn't
end-like.
Underage drinking, there were more black people.
There was not as much drugs.
There were no drugs?
No, there were prescription drugs, because some of our family members are older and they take prescription drugs.
And I will not say that, you know, one of my baby cousins might not have walked away with a drink syringe, but it was a water gun.
Yes, it was a water gun.
It was a water gun.
It was a water gun. When she had it, it was a water gun. Okay. Because even though we said 21 plus, that's not what happened.
And it was really funny because at the end of my party, not that I want to talk about it in any
But we are talking about
any
it.
Detail.
Here we are, talking about your birthday
But
party.
One of the baby cousins tried to walk away with one of the Jell-O shots, to which the parent had to go, oh, no, that's not kid Jell-O,
no.
That's adult Jell-O.
Yes.
And,
because, again, it was 21 plus.
Yeah. But needless to say, I'm awesome in the kitchen.
All right, since we're going to go here before we actually get into the games and stuff. People, I've got to tell you, okay? I can cook. I'm okay with it. You know, I have some skills. There's some dishes. Mwah, can't touch this. But I will say that Panda, when it came to the creation of food, because it was 97% cooked by Panda for this epic BBQ, it was awesome.
Yeah.
As many of our family members said, she put her foot in it.
I put my foot in it.
Which, for those of you who don't know, that means that it's really good.
Because my feet are tasty.
Okay. And I'm not going to lie. Panda, I sampled, and I only got to sample because somebody ate my plate, which was rude as hell.
I know. Somebody be trifling in our family.
We know we have trifling family members, but seriously, how you eat somebody else's plate? That's just not cool.
Like, I know. Which is why I didn't even bring out my happy birthday mug, because I figured someone would try to comp my happy birthday mug.
Seriously. Trifling family members.
But
anyway,
we love you.
Anyway, what I did get to sample, Panda, was extraordinary.
I mean, I essentially ate booze all day.
Yeah, you did. But that was what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I should have eaten a little
and
bit more.
And my Jell-O shots were the ish.
The syringe, everyone wanted the syringe shots, and I was like, nope, they're mine. And
you still released them to the
public.
And
at the very end, I'm like, now you can have a shot. Booyah in the face. Oh, I missed your face. Sorry. I'm drunk.
Anyway, ain't no party like a Landa Esch party, because a Landa Esch party don't stop.
It don't stop. People are still passed out in our driveway.
There is still recovery happening 3 days later.
3 days
later. That's all I'm saying.
You know that movie, 28 Days Later? They're talking about my party.
Basically, that's what's up.
That's what
happened. So, if you ever need someone to organize an event for you and plan it, music, booze, specialty drinks, and food, what we're telling you is you should hire the sisters from the Land of Esch, because we know how to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
You sprinkle on a little hot mess on there, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a
the best fucking
that
time
that people will be talking about and ever. Recovering for days later. So now that we've covered that, even though we said we weren't going to.
I didn't. That was barely Cliff Notes.
That was really, what's the other thing that's not Cliff Notes? That's like
Spark Notes?
Is that the one that's like super, super high level?
No.
Because there's one, there's like Cliff's Notes, and then there's another thing that's like really, really, really all you need to know.
Like, for real, we just gave you the Wikipedia first paragraph of the party. We did not even go into the outline of the party or the
plot. That's okay. If you ever run into us, just ask us about it. We were really good. We didn't take pictures.
Don't even ask me about it. Just wait for me to walk up to you, because most likely I'm going to tell you about it.
You'd be like, did I tell you about, did I ever tell
it's
you
like,
story?
Did I ever tell you about Old Reliable before?
I don't recollect if I've ever told you about Old Reliable before.
No, you haven't.
I haven't? Well, I love Lady and the Tramp.
I love Lady and the Tramp.
So that's enough tangent time. I've gotten some caffeine in me, so we can talk about video games and anime and, like, the nerdy things.
Ooh,
now.
I can talk about some anime. I got some good news off your Crunchyroll earlier today.
Yes?
So, Psycho Pass is going into its second arc. It's going into its second season.
Oh, dang.
Hell yeah. Oh, OMG.
Wait, hold on. I have anime news as well.
Okay.
So, Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
You know how the third arc is the gun story?
Yeah.
It has been optioned. So, there will be a third arc taken from the manga that will be turned into anime. So, the gun world story is about to be created, which means it'll be probably on Crunchyroll fairly quickly. So we are not done with Asuna and Kirito yet. And frankly, I think that the gun world is one of the more interesting levels, because there's a little more maturity now with
the characters,
Kirito and Asuna and their relationship, as well as how they feel about the VO worlds and their development. So I'm looking forward to it. But for any of you guys who haven't checked out Sword Art Online yet, you need to. The first two arcs are available in their entirety now on Crunchyroll, so you want to make sure that you check that out. And seriously, can I just, like, for a minute, throw some serious love on the Crunchyroll?
Yeah.
Because between Crunchyroll and Funimation and the Anime Network's ability to let you do online viewing a video, whether you do the pay-for route or just the videos that they put up for free. Definitely, I think, keeping anime and anime culture alive here in the U.S., which is really cool. But Crunchyroll, I feel, really has the largest diverse collection of anime available, both on the pay-for and non-pay-for side. Because you know how sometimes when you're on the non-pay-for side, stuff's really cheap and it takes way too long for it to become available. And it's obvious that they're just pushing you to try and do the paid-for version of the service.
It's like, hey, we know you really like this series. It's really good.
And if we really want you to watch it. We prefer to give you chunks more in advance if you pay for it. But you know what? We're not gonna hurt you and not allow you to actually enjoy it just because you're not paying for
it. We're just gonna make you wait.
We're gonna make you wait 7 days more than if you were paying for it.
I mean, one of the great things about, you know, having a press account, though, and being media is that you get stuff even quicker when you're media.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't use the media account.
I have not yet, but we have it.
Yeah. And I know B3 uses it a
like,
lot.
Like a bitch.
Like, so much. And my thing is, I had a Crunchyroll pay for account before we created a partnership with them to get the press account.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not gonna stop paying for this just because they gave us a press account.
No,
like,
I should use the press account for free.
I should,
but you have a job that all the years round.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. I believe in the service, which is why I continue to pay for it.
I believe in the service enough to let you continue paying for
it. I appreciate that as an org that covers anime, that they have given us access to their anime bank, which is awesome. And I don't ever want to abuse that. And so since there's already a team member that's using it, I don't want to do anything that I just think is, like, for me, shady. So I keep my account and I don't mind paying for it because it's totally worth
it. It's totally worth the money that you're spending. I,
really.
Like, literally, like, you will not watch all the series that they have on there.
You know, we just came into...
And if you do, then you need to come and write for us at
electricsystem.com. And the summer season just started, so there are a bunch of new simulcasts that have gone off.
Yeah, like Dog and Scissors.
Yeah, which I think is... really interesting. I loved it when I saw the preview video, and I don't even understand Japanese or any of...
the PVs? Yeah. Because I always like to give you the first and second PVs, and then...
Which is cool, because, you know, with a preview video, you kind of get a feeling, at least for me, without understanding the language, of whether or not it's probably going to be a series that I'm going to like.
Yeah.
And so, I watched the PV for Dog and Scissors. And as soon as I watched the PV, I was like, I don't even know what's going on other than there was a guy, he's now a dog.
He's being tortured by this hot chick with black hair and red eyes.
I'm in.
And
like at that point, I was like, I'm in. I need to watch this. It just started.
Like, I think the second episode will be released by the time you guys listen to this podcast.
By the time this podcast goes live, the second episode will be live.
But I mean, they actually give you quite a lot in the first episode, which, you know, and... we already know how I feel about openers, and the opener kind of leaves me wanting a little bit more, but then the episode itself clearly makes up for this. So, I mean, if you have been watching, like, Severing Crime Edge, and you have a thing for scissors, then this series, I think you're going to really, really like it, because our main... I don't know if I want to say she's our protagonist, because really our protagonist is the dog.
Yeah, really.
But she's
not necessarily an antagonist either.
I mean, she might just be the anti-protagonist, or like a Byronic protagonist, where she's opposed
she to... She is just fucking weird.
No, I mean, I guess technically she is considered kind of an antagonist for our protagonist, since, you know, she's always threatening to, like, kill him and does, like... aggressively go after him with scissors.
That's true.
But I think she's not like... she's like the mid-level antagonist. She's the middle person. She's not the guy at the end or girl at the end.
And we don't know if there's going to be a guy or girl at the end.
We don't.
So I feel like at this moment, it's fair to say that she's a non-traditional antagonist.
Where she's... Her presence is known. Her motive is literally in the first sentence that she speaks. Like, because your protagonist, you know, who's this dog whose name I don't remember, but he loves books. Like, he is so into books, like, he could hump them and be happy, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did. But he is so in love with books that his parents, you know, his dad got a new job and he had to move, and he was like, if I can get into, like, this really fancy-smancy school in Tokyo, I want to stay here. And they're like, sure, thinking that he wouldn't do it. And of course, you know, because he reads, it's granted that the boy has to be smart, manages to get into this school. So they allow him to stay in Tokyo by himself.
And the whole reason that he did this is because...
he didn't want to... because books come out later in the rural areas, and he didn't want to be
further away from this bookstore that was near where he was going to go to school.
So
the whole reason why he stepped up and got better grades to get into the school was just so that he would have access to new prints of books the moment they came out at a bookstore.
And literally, anytime he shows up to a bookstore, he always... and I mean, his whole apartment, which isn't really much of an apartment as it is...
just a library.
Not even a library. It's really just a bunch of stacks of books, because there's just enough room for him to sit on the floor...
And read
a book. And this one day, because he's obsessed with this particular author.
Yes.
And, like, there's only one more book in this male, air quotes, author's collection. And he's sitting there and he's pretty much like, I cannot die peacefully until I've collected the whole set and I've read the last book.
And the last book is called Lust.
Lust. So he's about waiting on bated breath. He's lusting for this book called Lust, which I think is... it's great. The foreshadowing of that is wonderful. But sure enough, he goes to this coffee shop and he's reading a book. And there's this chick in the back of the, you know, coffee shop. And she's aggressively, passionately writing
on their really cool paper, which is what I guess they use to write manuscripts.
And you don't really notice her off the first. Like, right, when you first start,
you know there's someone in the coffee shop, but you don't know.
You know it's him, and he's talking with the barista, but you don't really notice that she's there until the guy comes in to rob the place.
Yeah, so this robber comes in, and he's a little agitated, and sure enough, drops those lines that you never really want to hear. Like, just give me your money. Give me... And of course, you know, our protagonist at this point is, you know, kind of sweating bullets because it looks like the robber hasn't really noticed that there are other people in the cafe at first, but then turns and notices and he's all like, you know, get down on the ground, you know, give me your shit, you know, and of course our protagonist gets down on the ground and he's trying to, you know, prolong his life, and he then catches this girl who is so consumed in what she's doing that she is not hearing this agitated man with a gun.
And it's not just a little gun, let's be clear. Yeah. It's a shotgun.
It's a shotgun. And, you know, and he's telling her to stop what she's doing. Why aren't you listening? And he's getting, and this man's getting more and more agitated the more that she's not, you know, and it seems like every time he gets more anxious, she writes faster. So, like, she's just in this zone. And, of course, you know, our guy who loves books is all kind of like, oh, my God, it's like a cute girl and she's writing. She's probably writing a book. I like books. Boner. And... you know, and the bad guy, the robber, turns his gun as if he's going to, like, shoot her, and our protagonist jumps in front to, like, save her, and he gets thrown to the ground and then shot in the head and dies.
Well, first they fight, and he's trying to get possession of the gun, and he's having this internal monologue about why the hell he's doing this. And the girl
like,
just
why keeps, am I doing this?
Keeps literally. Writing and keeps writing, and ultimately he loses the battle for the gun. The guy goes up to him when he falls on the ground, just dead in the head.
Between the eye sockets.
Like, up close, shotguns him to the head. You see the blood run out. You see that
and
he's
dying. And you see his vision blurring, and he's still looking at this girl who has stopped.
Even after
it's happened. So, of course, he's like, you know, in his mind, he's like, oh my God, am I dead? But... he's like, I can't die. There's so many things I have not read yet. So, like, it's not even about, oh, I haven't fallen in love and I haven't eaten a burger. It's, there are all these things, all these books I have not read yet. And he sees in this mind area of subconscious, I guess, the book Lust that he is longing to read. And he's like, I cannot die. And
the next thing you know,
he comes to. And, you know, and he hasn't really fully come to, you know, he hasn't become aware of, you know, where he is. He's cognizant in his mind. He can hear himself speaking to himself, you know, and he hears this man talking to him, but he keeps calling him dog. And he's like, I don't know why this man keeps calling me dog. And you see this mirror on the other side of the room, and you see him look over at it, and you see a small wiener dog. It looks like a Dachshund and a Cocker Spaniel, like, mixed.
Yeah.
It's a little fuzzy, but
it looks
short.
Like a long-haired dachshund.
Yeah. And he's all like, oh, and he's, you know, trying to, you know, move his paw to see if he moves his paw and he does, and he starts like, oh my God, I have been reincarnated as a dog. You know, and no one can understand him. You know, the pet shop owner guy had found him in a box, nearly dead, and took him on, and wasn't planning on selling him, but was planning to keep him. And the guy's being nice. I mean, he knows how to take care of animals. He has a pet shop.
Yep.
But he can't articulate that what he wants to do, anything in this world, is read. So he gets to a point where he's, like, reading all the text in the room, like, in the pet store, just trying to regain some essence of his life, even though it can no longer be that way. And magically, one day, the girl that he saved, I mean, I don't know how to call that, because, I mean, he did, because, I mean, it's not like she got murdered.
Right.
She didn't get murdered.
So he saved her.
He saved her at the cost of his own life.
Right.
But she comes barreling in and kind of stops and sees him in his crate, and she's like, is it you? You know, and sure enough, he's all like, I don't know what she's talking about. You know, and he's a dog, so he's, you know, whatever. She can't understand me. And this girl is like, how much for that dog? And the pet shop guy's like, oh, well, he's not for sale. And, like, sure enough, she takes out these scissors that she has in this holster that sits sexily along her thigh.
like a stirrup well, for a gun.
It's so sexy. It's definitely like a little S&M.
Yeah, and she takes out this scissor and she does this really cool scissor move and literally frees the dog from the cage that it's in and is like, again, I want to know how much for the dog. And she ends up taking the dog home. But instead of giving him, you know, a loving, affectionate home, she, you know,
pretty much tortures him all the time.
Like, and ties him upside down. And because, and you, and she finds out that they have this linkage that she can hear his thoughts, even though he doesn't ever utter a bark. You know, and at first he doesn't believe her, but, like, he's thinking things, and she's, like,
answering him.
Yeah, answering him right back as if, you know, he is talking. And, of course, you know, because our book-loving protagonist dog has a thing for 2D women, he has no problems being held captive by a very sexy, you know, woman in all black with red eyes. And granted, she's got a flat chest, which he likes to comment on in his mind a lot.
And she does not like
at all. She does not care for that at all. But, you know, as they begin to kind of bond, and I'm using, you know, air quotes with that also, because, I mean, there is some linkage there, but it hasn't been fleshed out yet. This is only the first episode. But, you know, she's like, well, the things that you, like, need or, like, want, and he's all like, books. I love books. And sure enough, she's got this massive, beautifully organized library in her beautiful, lavish apartment. And as he's going through stuff, he sees that collection of the books from his favorite male author. And he's like, oh my God, you have all those? That's wonderful. And she's like, well, you were calling my name, so. And he's like, I didn't even know your name, because she does give her actual name to him. And she's like, no, my other name. And sure enough, it's the author of the books that he is so madly engrossed in. So now he gets to pretty much live a life right next to...
Kinda.
with the author of his dreams.
So that's episode one.
That's basically all episode one.
Yeah. So that's why we're in, and we can't wait to watch more of it. I was watching a couple of the other series that were introduced, and I have to say that one of them, which I can't really pronounce right this moment, because it's Italian, and then it has its Japanese name after it, so it's just all over the place, but for right now, I'll just call it Illusions for short.
Is Illusions anywhere in the title?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only piece...
of it that's English?
Of it, no, that in Italian I understood. Because it was Il something something de illusions. And I was like, hey, illusions! All right. I'm sure that they'll update it and put the English title by the time that this podcast
I don't know,
airs.
They really like their long titles.
But where Illusions is very interesting is that it centers around this young girl whose mother, whose name is Hinata, had passed away a couple of years ago. And her mother was a fortune teller and was very good and left her her tarot deck. And so she's become enamored with fortune telling and tarot cards. Not necessarily the occult, but
just
tarot
divination?
Cards and fortune telling.
Divination.
She is really into using the tarot to help people.
All right.
So she is your purely, truly good-hearted female lead. Okay, that's her whole thing. She's nice to everyone. Her name is Akari. You know, so like...
Right.
Like... she has a weird situation with the school that she's going to. She's living with her aunt and her uncle, but she visits the mansion where her mother used to live, and some of her mother's friends who are fortune tellers and other things, I think we'll come to learn as the series goes on, are still living. So she's kind of between these two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first episode, things are coming to light. So Akari really does not understand what her role is and what her mom's role is or was in the world, I should say. She really just is truly about being very happy and
There's a scene where she's in her room at her aunt's house and she's gotten stuck again in her plants because they've overrun her room because she just loves life and plants and finds it to be comforting. And so her cousin, Fumiya, comes in and cuts her out. But Fuyuya has some animosity and envy of Akari because she's not lighthearted and fun and just out there and full of life. And so that starts to manifest itself. The way that it manifests itself is kind of strange. So one day, as Akari is going through the city, she bumps into this very...
handsome?
No.
Ugly?
No, not a dude. Chick. This
hot?
Very, no.
Sorry.
Can you let me struggle to find my word?
No.
Because you're not evidently on the same wavelength in my head. You're on a different...
Cryptic?
No. So she bumps into this very regal-looking woman who's walking down the street. And I say woman, but she's really kind of, you know, a younger... young adult.
Okay.
Best way to say it. Who's dressed very ornately. She looks very much like... If you ever watched Rosen Maiden, she looks like one of the dolls.
Oh.
The way that she's made up. But she's an actual person. And she drops a ribbon. And Akari picks it up and gives it to her. And then she meets other people in a car and she's like, yeah, it looks like the wheels of fortune are turning. Akari gives a gift that she bought in the shop to Fumiya for Fumiya. Fuyuya, I should say. I don't know why I keep saying Fuyuya.
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 Fuyuya. Fuyuya.
And,
see? There you go.
She looks at it. She really treasures it, puts it on. It makes her happy for a while, but then she has dinner with her family, and the aunt and the uncle are more interested in how passionate Akari is about fortune-telling than hearing about Fuyuya's, hobby and passion as well. And that's kind of the end that splits it. And so she takes a pair of scissors and she cuts some stuff up. Some weird things happen. It appears that Akari is having a dream, but she's being attacked by one of her plants and it's strangling her. And just as she's about to die, one of the tarot cards from the deck that her mother gives her flips around. All of a sudden, her hair grows out really long and becomes all flame. She has a sword that comes out of nowhere.
Wait, the card does, or...
The card has a sword. It comes flying out. Akari's hair goes from being short, which it is, to really, really super long. Her outfit changes. But it's not a full pretty girl transformation yet.
Right, well, because she's asleep.
Okay. And she fights off this plant. It finishes... The whole scene stops. Akari is now standing up in her room. The plant's gone. Her hair is back to normal. She's like, oh, it's a dream. Except you look down on the ground and the pendant that she bought, Fuyuya, is on the ground. And then all of a sudden all this blood comes out of nowhere and surrounds the pendant. And she looks up and it's Fuyuya dead, all cut to pieces on a floor. She flips out. Flash to the morning. And now it's a morning identical to the morning before, except this time Fuyuya isn't there at all, so she isn't part of the conversation about hobbies and passion. The aunt and uncle make no reference to her whatsoever.
So she's been wiped from his existence.
Akari makes no mention of her at all, and you're just like, so what the hell? Like, was that whole thing like a dream? What just happened? They go to the cemetery to pay respects to Akari's mom, Hinata. She's going about her business, I guess. And then some other weird shit happens, and she gets attacked again. And this time, she ends up fighting this big kind of fire dragon that was trying to burn down the mansion that the friends of the family were still living in,
right,
that Akari went in to try and save after going to the cemetery. And so once again, the tarot card thing pops out because she's about to die, cause she's being strangled, and her hair gets long, and she gets the sword, and she's doing some battling, and she's holding her own, but then she takes a hit, and all of a sudden these other three girls appear that also have powers. They take out the fire dragon thing. They put Akari in a bubble, And they're like, hey, you know, she's not too bad. She's doing pretty good. I mean, for an amateur. Yeah, but she still needs to, you know, be trained and whatever and blah, blah, blah. They leave the house. All the family members are on stretchers. Three of the girls come out. And you're like, where? Of the house. No one sees them because they're, like, ghostly walking through them until they get to the woods. And then they materialize. And they're talking. And then you see the girl that Akari bumped into earlier when she was shopping for the gift for
Fuyuga. When she picked up the ribbon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is carrying her out, again, in the ghostly form, in her arms like a baby, going, you did really well. And everyone's like, all right, so it started. And then that's how the episode ends. So obviously, there are more girls than just Akari that have this kind of ability. And so, more than likely, her mom had the ability, and now she's stepping up. And because one of the girls is like, isn't it funny that, you know, she would awaken on the anniversary of her mother's death? And they're like, huh, okay. So it's really interesting. I think that, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Madoka, mm-hmm. in that you have all these young girls that have different powers that they have to use to fight something, and in this ethereal world that's out of the space of what the human realm knows, and it's drawn, you know, pretty cutely. So I'm already enjoying the first episode, so I can't wait for the next one. And then there are a couple other series that I'm checking out as well, but I'm going to wait till I get a little bit more in depth before I talk about them. But definitely some really interesting things popping up for the summer season on Crunchyroll. So if you haven't checked it out, you definitely want to make sure that you do. Crunchyroll.com. We absolutely love them. I've had my account for years. I'll continue to have them. Cannot wait. A couple of series have come to the end of their arc, which is really cool. So if you haven't checked out series that we've talked about before on the podcast, now's a great time to jump into Severing Crime Edge.
Yes.
Because that arc is completed. It's also a good time to jump into Arata of the Sword, because that arc has completed as well. And then also,
if you like your boy band animes, then Utapri, Prince Nosama, or whatever the order is, you should watch that, because both of those arcs are now over, and I don't believe we're getting a third. Also, just a little light note, our lovely Madoka Magica got some news.
Oh, fairly yeah. Recently. So I guess I'll bring that up, seeing as how I brought that up to begin with.
So it should be something that we talk about.
So really quickly, Panda has talked about Madoka Magica before, and I talked about it before that.
She talked about it before, but I didn't listen, and then I found it myself and told her about it, even though she had already told me about it.
Yeah, because that's how sometimes things
happen. That's how anime in this house rolls.
And, well, 4Kids, the Canadian company, has licensed it, with some caveats. mm-hmm. So they have actually purchased a license and will be doing a 40-episode run of not Madoka Magica, but Magical Molly.
Now let's stop there. So, because we have a bunch of people in our fan base who, after your talking of it and then my insisting I talked about it first, Aka, went and watched it. So, you all know that there are only 12 episodes to Madoka Magica, for very good reason.
It's not the lightest, brightest anime on the planet.
It's a dark subversion, which I've talked about at length, and another podcast episode, obviously. But, so they're turning 12 episodes into 40.
Yes, which means there's just going to be more character exposition.
Granted, I mean, they don't go into a lot of the backstories of a lot of our particular characters in Madoka Magica because of the severity of the story. So I feel like if you divulge too much in backstory, you're going to ruin the initial premise of the series. Granted, when Ninja brought this up to me that they were even doing this, I was a little shocked because they're planning to add new characters, which makes no sense in Panda's brain. And I feel like they are going to overly lighten it up and try to turn it into the Deke version of Cardcaptor Sakura, which, if you watch that series, also was not necessarily a very lighthearted show and had a lot of medium to deep story plots in it. And that kind of worries me. And I mean, I think, as Ninja and I have discussed, we feel that they're doing this to, you know, Madoka Magica because we're in the summertime and we were already promised a reboot and a reimagining of Sailor Moon, which I still have not heard too much about, and I so hope it's coming because I'm so excited. But I'm a little concerned with this news. I mean, I want to see more from Madoka Magica, but I don't want it bastardized and watered down and sifted through the censors to get something that is not what I want.
Okay, so.
Not that it's all about me, because I mean, I've learned in my life that it's not always about me. Like, that's lesson number...
Oh, really?
Like,
really? Have you really learned
that? That was lesson number five.
Because I feel like you haven't actually learned that lesson.
It's not... No, I know it's not about me. Like, sometimes it's about people who are, like, in my life, but it's not... I'm not the center focus. Like, I'm just the character plot sometimes. Or maybe I'm just a background character who has, like, a really awesome line of insight that makes me, like, really awesome.
Really? Really?
Yeah, but it's not always about me.
I feel like you didn't put enough awesome in that sentence when referring to yourself.
I mean, I'm awesome.
I just want to make sure that you've gotten enough awesome in the statement where you're talking about yourself.
I mean, I'm an awesome extra. I'm an awesome love interest. I'm an awesome antagonist. Oh my god, I'm like an epically awesome antagonist. And like, I'm an awesome omnipotent... I already said that wrong, but I don't care. I know all because I am awesome. I would drop my mic, but you'd get mad at me.
Okay, so anyway, tangents. In Magical Molly, because Madoka obviously is not the kind of name that can sell.
Well, I mean, they changed in Cardcaptor Sakura, they changed Sakura's name to... I can't remember now.
Really? Because every time I watch it, it was Sakura.
Oh. Well, it's her cousin, Tomoyo. They changed her name to Madison.
Okay.
I'm just saying, sometimes they're like, it's too Japanese, so let's make it American.
Madoka Magica, obviously, nope, doesn't work. So it's Magical Molly. Madoka is now Molly. And you have Hilda, Sabrina, Casey, Maria, and Kyubey. So Kyubey is still Kyubey, except Kyubey is spelled with a C-U instead of a Q.
Well, I mean, because God forbid we actually teach people the appropriate phonics for the letters.
I mean,
like, God forbid we do our job in educating America.
Why would we want to do that?
What?
That would just make, like, no...
I mean, because, you know, QU doesn't make a... Like, it doesn't make that sound.
So Magica, Madoka Magica is being redubbed. Four Kids is doing it. And instead of it being just a 12-episode run, it's going to be a 40-episode run. Now, here's the deal. We don't know if it's 40 episodes that are just going to take and run with the story of the 12 episodes that happen, or if they're going to take the 12-episode run
and extend them.
So we'll have...
Extends.
So I feel like we'll kind of have to watch it.
Like, I'm so worried. I'm, like, really worried because, you know, Madoka Magica had its purpose, and it conveyed that several times over, way before it's ending in episode 12.
Look, we both liked Madoka, okay?
We loved Madoka.
All right. I'm saying I'm not passing judgment...
Oh, I am.
...on Magical Molly...
Molly!
...until I see the first two episodes.
Because that'll tell me right there and there. I will give it five. I will give it five episodes to convince me of
its potential. Oh, I mean, it's got five to convince me, but the first two will tell me whether or not...
I'm gonna take
the 12 and just blow the 12 into 40, or if it's gonna take the 12 and do more.
So, I mean, I think my only problem with, well, I mean, I've got several problems with this concept, but I have a hard time believing, you know, Molly to be magical, only because whenever I think Molly, I think Molly from Sailor Moon, which obviously, even though she was, you know, Serena's best friend, not that she realized that, you know, Serena was ever Sailor Moon ever, and that in the abridged version, they just made Molly really stupid. Like, really stupid. Granted, Molly wasn't that smart in the original series. She got with Melvin, for fuck's sake. But, I mean, Melvin was a cool dude. Liked his glasses. He was with it. But, I mean, they could have given her any other name. Madison, for example.
No, no Madison. Or Magical Madison.
Or Marlene. Or Maria. Or Mona. No, not Mona.
No, not Mona.
No, Magical Mona. Mona. Oh!
Mona.
Mona. But, you know, there's so many other M names. Like, they could have even made it, like, a French name. Or, like, Italian.
No.
Like, Chevrolet de Dion.
No,
Molly.
No. Will you with the Chevrolet Dion? I mean, really.
Chevalier. I know what the word is now. Chevalier.
I know you know the word. We went through it.
I just think Chevrolet Dion so much better.
I would buy a Chevrolet Dion.
Especially if it came with the full DVD box set of the Chevrolet Dion.
Chevalier.
Chevalier
Dion. I mean, that would be a selling point. Could you imagine a Chevrolet Dion with a Chevalier Dion? Like,
it'd be funny.
Bodywork and the box set.
During the day, your car would be blue, but during full moons, your car would turn into a woman. Or like a pink car.
All right, we gotta move on from this. Sorry. Because we're gonna go into the Carland stuff, and then by the time we realize we're done, we will have not talked about
Transformers Chevrolet Dion. I'm sorry.
That would be one hell of a transformation.
Oh my god. But anyway.
Bumblebee, what happened to you? You have boobs. Just saying.
I'm so excited.
No.
I didn't even watch that movie. Fuck that series in the face with a lawn chair.
Hey.
Nope. I still have the first Transformers in plastic. I refuse to open it.
Look, I'm going to tell you something.
Because I got it for free.
All right, look, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Transformers movies go, really and truly, the only one that you need to watch
is the first one. Right?
Look, that you need to watch.
Is the first one, right? Is it the last one?
Yeah, I would say 3 is probably the only one you need to watch. 3 is the one you need to watch. Because here's the thing. You can watch 3 and not have seen 1 or 2 and know exactly what's going on.
All
right. Because they catch you up, like, right in the beginning, just in case you didn't watch 1 and 2.
By the way, we have these good cars and bad cars and they fight.
Exactly. They explain to you why Shia LaBeouf is talking to cars and they're talking to him. Like, you don't miss anything. That there was some shit, it went down, it got better, he's got a new girlfriend now. So literally within like the first 5 minutes of the third movie, they've explained 1 and 2. So out of all of them, as far as the one you have to watch, I say 3. Plus, I hate Megan Fox. So you don't need to watch 1.
See, at least they didn't say that they should turn Molly's name into Megan.
Oh, God.
Magical Megan!
No. Magical Megan is a porno, and we're not watching that. All right, so video game stuff, because we are a video game and anime podcast.
Generally.
We do have, typically, more times than not, we try to be. We do have video game stuff to talk about. So, first up, Hit List. Because we are by the time you listen to this, probably, we're in the smack dab of it. In July. There are a couple of video game releases that I just wanted to mention.
She's talking about Dynasty Warriors 8, y'all.
I know, I gotta get it. I knew
the minute I saw the lineup, I'm like, oh shit, she's getting Dynasty Warriors.
Dude, I love the franchise. And I know people are like, how many times can you play
the How many times can you be
kingdoms?
A random guy on a massive field full of people and just clear the whole hillside?
As many times as possible.
With pretty sparkles and dudes on horses.
Dude, seriously, I want to smack people upside the head with my flute. And I want to upgrade my flute to make it more dangerous.
Dangerous flute.
Okay, I fucking love Dynasty Warriors because you can have a little bit of strategy and still win, or you can have like serious redonk strategy and just demoralize. Or you can straight up just be like, I want a button mash right now. Like right now.
I mean,
and for like the next 20 minutes, all I want to do is mash buttons and watch things like disappear.
I'm looking forward to the Smurfs too.
You are such a damn liar.
I know.
You couldn't even say that with a straight face.
I know.
We are not even looking at each other right now, and I can see your smile from here.
It's redonk.
So Dynasty Warriors 8, that's jumping off around July 16th. So if you're into the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, if you've played Dynasty Warriors 1 through 8, or any of the Samurai Warriors, or any of the tactics, or... So really, we're up to like 25 Dynasty games at this point.
Is it just me, but isn't the Romance of the Three Kingdoms kind of like Game of Thrones?
I mean, it basically...
Like the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, a.k.a. Game of Thrones.
No. You got it backwards, because the Romance of the Three Kingdoms was well before...
Right. No, but I mean, in terms of games. I'm talking book-wise. The books, The Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and the history of that happened way before the fake history of Game of Thrones.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. The history,
But you said, isn't like Romance of the Three Kingdoms like Game of Thrones?
So Game of Thrones.
And it's the other way around.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic. It's okay. It's all right. You're dyslexic in your thought. It's cool.
Not all the time.
The Serious Sam collection drops also on the 16th.
I mean, guys, we're going to have freaking Civilization 5 dropping this week.
Yes, Civ 5 is coming. Brave New World expansion.
Isn't there a book called Brave New World?
Yes.
By Huxley?
Huxley.
Yes. Huxley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Aldous Huxley.
Yeah.
Yes.
I kind of read it once, sort of.
Yeah, I kind of tried to make you read it once.
But I'm talking about another time.
Seriously, time. Soma.
Two times. I've tried to read it two times.
I thought that Red Bull was going to be Soma, but I was wrong. Shin Megami Tensei 4 also drops on the 16th.
Turbo Super Stunt Squad.
No, although I do want to see the movie. I'm not going to lie. I mean, come on.
Wait, is that the one with the snail?
Yes, that has nitrous.
Dude.
I mean, come on.
I'm sorry. Can we talk? Can we talk a second?
Oh.
Can we? Bros out there and bro here in the room.
Yes.
So we got Pixar. We got Cars. Cars was awesome. We got Cars 2.
Yep.
We're getting fucking planes.
All right. Now, hold on. I'm going to jump in here for just a hot minute. Okay?
Please do, because.
Just a hot minute. Okay. Planes exist.
Because of cars. And then after planes, we're going to get boats.
No, we're not getting
boats. We're going to get buses.
We're not getting boats. We're not getting buses.
Then we're going to get trains.
I don't think planes is going
to
be
How to train your
well.
Train.
No.
You sub-dog. I heard you like
that's,
trains.
That's
so
that's,
Pixar is making
hey,
a movie for
that
you.
Would be a DreamWorks movie. How to Train Your Train would be a DreamWorks
How
movie.
How to Train Your Train.
Anyway.
How to Train Your Bus.
Look, planes is going to be the end of this. Because think about it, right? Merchandising-wise... What's the easiest thing to sell to little kids?
Boats.
No.
Snails?
Cars, planes, and trucks.
And ponies.
No, ponies only for the girls.
Ponies.
Unless you're doing cowboys and Indians. And then they're not ponies, they're horses. Focus, Pandalicious. Focus.
Wanna.
Anyway, ones that I'm really interested in, really and truly, August. August is strong. And I'll be honest with you, this is the first August that I've seen in a while that's this strong.
Because I've seen Augusts every year.
But I'm talking about game release-wise being a strong month.
I mean, it's heavy.
I'm not talking about, like, heat.
It's game-intensive, bitch!
Anyway, as I was trying to say, we've got Pikmin 3 dropping on August 4th.
Yeah.
That's a definite must-have, at least for me.
And then we got Disney's Planes on the 6th. Because we're getting a game to go with the release of the movie.
Well, what's interesting is that you have Hakuoki Memories of the Shinsengumi, which is a game based off of an anime, based off of a manga, which I thought was based off of a game previously.
They like to recycle.
So it's like
in
so...
Japan. Recycling is so big.
It's... ridiculous. I can't keep up with it.
Recycling is the shit. You should do it.
But in getting back to the strong, you've got Disney Infinity dropping the 18th.
Yep.
You've got Saints Row 4 on the 20th. You've got Splinter Cell Blacklist on the 20th. You've got the Bureau XCOM Declassified on the 20th.
Then you got Final Fantasy 14 A Row Reborn.
On the 27th. On the 25th, you've got the new Super Luigi U game. You've got Killer is dead.
Oh, finally, they're gonna let Luigi not just.
Did you not pay attention to E3? Did you not go through any of your emails?
They're not gonna just let him clean out.
You just need to
mansions with ghosts in them.
I can't even talk to you right now because you didn't do your homework. You've got Killer is dead on the 27th. Woo-hoo. You've got Lost Planet 3 on the 27th.
Nah, I'm not all that excited for Lost Planet 3. And obviously, from the E3 before, no one else was all that excited about Lost Planet 3.
And then you have a Hatsune Miku Project Diva F on.
What's the F stand for?
Fuck you. August 31st.
Fierce.
Like, August is strong. And then September.
Verboten,
and then
possibly.
And September is just. And Verboten is with a V.
Verboten.
But.
I add F's just because.
But. September is also ridiculous. You've got the DOA 5 Ultimate game dropping. You've got Diablo 3 dropping.
Finally for the consoles.
Correct.
We've had Diablo 3 for quite some time on PC.
You've got Rayman Legends dropping. You've got Total War Rome 2. Killzone Mercenary. KH HD 1.5 Remix. The Kingdom Hearts Remix.
Now, mind you, it's not necessarily a remix. It's just the version of Kingdom Hearts that they released in Japan. Which made all... Which,
yes,
all, which
but updated for HD.
Yeah, so it's HD, and they moved some cutscenes around. They added, like, 2 cutscenes to, like, Atlantica.
Yes, but the remix put together a couple of the games. That's why.
Well, yeah, you're gonna get 1.
Yes.
And 2.
Yes.
And...
In one game.
385.72 days, I think.
365, 420, I don't know.
Yeah, it's... It's
so
bad math.
You get the 3 Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts
HD
bad math.
Into Kingdom Hearts fractions on fractions on fractions.
Fractions suck. I mean, for you football fans, we're going to get some...
Look, and if you haven't played Kingdom Hearts yet, and you saw 3 and you're like, ooh, that looked cool, I wonder what that's about.
Sorry, I don't imagine that there's anyone on this planet who saw 3 who did not play 1, 2, Recoded, Chain of Memories, Dream Drop Distance,
I'm gonna stop
and
right
Electric
there.
Boogaloo.
There's a bunch of people who saw stuff at E3 and coverage at E3 who are just getting into games now and didn't have a PS1 or a PS2 to play the original. On.
I don't believe it.
That happens. They're called people younger than you. Deal with it.
No, there's no such thing as people younger than
you. There are. I just happen to, want to remind you that you're 29. There are people younger than you.
No, they're not.
There are gamers younger than
you. The world begins at 29. Did you not see In Time with Justin Timberlake?
No, that's the world ended. That's when your clock went off and you started to die. The world didn't begin. It's when it ended, dumbass.
I think I need
That's when you started to age.
I think I need to start watching that again.
I feel like you should probably watch that movie again.
Because it's like, oh man, life doesn't start until your clock starts going.
No, life is over when your clock starts going unless you find a way to steal, borrow, beg, or get more time. Because you're going to die.
Oh my god, that's actually really sad now.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie until this revelation.
Didn't watch it past the first 10 minutes.
Because, like...
His mom dies because she runs out of time.
Because he couldn't...
Literally running
fast.
To her.
Yeah, oh.
She runs out of time, dies in his arms.
I mean...
You obviously did not watch this movie.
I mean...
You should watch it again. But this
I don't
time,
know if I saw that part because I saw the part with him and Amanda Siegfried. And she's all like, I'm posh and pretty.
You missed the whole beginning that explains the time clock and why
and
he was
all
able
like,
to
we
get
wanna
there.
We want to be together. And then they got to be together in the end.
Yeah. You missed a whole so many things.
Apparently, I missed the plot.
You missed the whole thing. You jumped way past the plot.
I got the happy denouement.
You missed the whole conflict setup and resolution.
There was a conflict?
Yes, because he's running out of time.
Oh, well.
Oh my god! So you totally missed the guy that had like the millennia that gave him the millennia because he only had a day left.
Wait, someone gave him a millennia?
Oh my god, you need to watch this movie. Holy for the beginning. You missed the whole fucking point.
How did the dude get a millennia?
You missed the whole fucking point of the movie.
I mean, I was just like...
This is amazing. You missed the whole point.
Anyway,
the whole
games.
Thing. But let's go back to games. And not Justin Timberlake. But yes, in that movie, life ends at 29.
Well, I thought it was like 25.
whatever. Well,
whatever the magic number in that movie
It's like
was.
25 or 29, but it's one of those things.
No, because his mom, I saw in the picture, was like that hot lady.
Yes, Olivia Munn. She died. She
not Olivia Munn,
time.
Olivia Wilde, I think.
Thank
it
you,
was.
Olivia Wilde, not a Munn. Yes, Olivia Wilde. She died.
That'd be really awkward if Justin Timberlake's mom was the chick he
what?
Banged.
His what? His. It was odd that his mom was Olivia Wilde.
Well, I mean,
but she pulled it off. Yeah. Right on when she died, you were like, oh my god, your mom's dead.
I mean, your mom's so looking so good. Sad. Well, I mean, I did technically stop aging after 25. So
seriously,
I look 25.
Just, like, seriously, you need to watch
this I need
movie.
To watch this movie.
All right, let's get back.
I need to be recording.
I gotta actually get to my damn game that I played this week.
Sorry.
Damn you. Come on, we gotta get through this. All right, September. Like I said, DOA 5 Ultimate, Rayman Legends, Total War Rome 2, Wonderful 101, drop in September 15th. Big one for September, Grand Theft Auto 5, September 17th.
What?
And you also have Young Justice Legacy on September...
Young Justice Legacy?
30th. So September also...
No, wait, is that like the Justice League?
Yeah, oh my god. Did you read any of the emails that came in for E3?
No.
Will you do your damn homework? Yes!
Damn it, bitch, do your job.
Oh my god! You have one job!
Well, technically I have two.
And you don't do either!
Well, technically I have three jobs.
You don't do any of
yes,
them!
Yes, I do.
Really?
The third one.
Emails! All you had to do was open them and read them.
I read some of them.
No, all of them! You have to read all the emails.
All the mail?
Yes! Read all the mails. Read all the mails, damn you. Alright, and then just, you know, a couple of things that are
in
happening.
In October, I mean, October. We got Beyond Two Souls.
I mean, there's Beyond Two
we
Souls.
We have Pokemon X and Y in October, bitches! Are you ready? I'm ready.
Batman Arkham Origins.
Assassin's Creed, Black Flag. Right near Halloween, so don't make any plans because you're going to be busy.
You will be very busy.
Make sure you wear your costume while you're gaming so you don't have to change.
You got Battlefield 4, I mean, and then of course, as you know, we're not getting into it right now, but November's going to be redonk. New systems, more games, launch titles, holy shit. So a lot of really cool things right around the corner. Talking about games, I have a game that I've been playing that I want to talk about. I resisted the urge for so long, guys. You know, because this game came out while E3 was going on, and I was good, okay? I didn't bring my 3DS to E3.
Were people playing it at E3?
There were some that went to the Target a few blocks up from the convention
to
center.
Go get it.
And hook themselves up with it, but I didn't do it. I was there to work, and I worked. And I was like, I'm going to stay off the crack.
All work and no play makes Ninja a crabby bitch.
Kinda. But I was trying to be good because I was like, hey, I got work to do. I got stuff that I gotta play. I got to review. I got to talk. I got to get with the people. I'm going to be good. I'm going to stay off the crack this time because this game for me is the only game that I go into it determined to collect everything.
Gotta get it all. Gotta get it all.
And there's so much to get. It's ridiculous. So the game that I'm talking about is Animal Crossing New Leaf. That's right.
Did you turn a new leaf when you played New Leaf?
No, I didn't turn a new leaf.
I heard you like new leaves, so...
We put new leaves up in New Leaf so you could have new leaves while you were new leafing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, I have loved Animal Crossing since my first adventure with it on the GameCube. To be honest with you, Animal Crossing on the GameCube was one of the main reasons that I purchased a GameCube when I purchased it. Because the game just looks so cute and the premise was really interesting. So in the game, you are a traveler who's moving to a new town for whatever reason. As you're sitting on the train, you meet a character, typically Rover, who asks you some questions about why you're traveling, and based off of the answers to the questions that you give Rover, it determines the name of your city, because you get to say where it is that you're traveling to, where it is on the map, your sex, and what your face looks like.
So wait, you don't know what your face looks like when you talk to Rover?
No, because it's all from the first person perspective, so you're looking at Rover, and based off of things that Rover will say, like, oh man, I can't believe that you're traveling by yourself. And so it'll pop up with a response, be like, yeah, I know, right? Or, I'm not a man.
I'm not a man.
And then Rover will be like, oh my god, I am so sorry. And we'll make like a gulp face. I totally can see now that you're a girl. And you're like, yeah, I'm a girl. You know, or no, I'm not. You just completely can confuse Rover. Which Rover gets really upset when you do that.
Why would you do that?
Don't do that to Rover. It's not cool.
It's like, no, I do not have a vagina penis.
I'm not a mama.
My name is Pat. Isn't that enough?
Can't you tell?
No. I mean, I'm an only child.
You're a jerk. It's Pat. But on the train ride into my town, I named my town Karopi.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
I would name mine Bats Maru because I'm a boss.
So my town is named Karopi. And in New Leaf, different from other games, you were just a villager who was moving. Sometimes it was because you just got out of school or whatever, and you were moving to a new town to set up, you know, your life and all that kind of thing.
You were moving out of your mom's basement.
This game, you move into town, and the townsfolk believe that you're the new mayor that's arriving, and mistake you for the new mayor, and no matter how many times that you try to explain that you're not the new mayor, they say that you are. So in essence, you are the mayor of this town.
You then become the mayor, even if you don't want to be the mayor.
You don't have a house. You have no money.
Because you're the mayor.
And you're the mayor.
You devote your life to the city.
In the game, much like every other Animal Crossing game, you have to earn bells, your money, in order to pay off your house, to buy items to decorate your house with, to get items to liven up the town. And in your role as mayor, you're even more responsible for the town now. Where in previous games, you just had to do favors for your neighbors in order to keep everybody happy and to keep them from moving out of your town and to interest more characters, NPCs, to move into your town.
I mean, I would just put a big sign, titties and wings, and see what happens.
Not so much.
Titties and wings!
But New Leaf really takes this to a new level, even above and beyond what New World did, in that you have the ability to see other users' houses. So you have a Happy Home Association where, using Street Pass, you can see homes that other people have built that you've passed by. If they have their 3DS and their Street Pass piece turned on, you can see their homes, how they've decorated them. With the exception of some of the specialty items that you can only get through fortune cookies, you can buy items from any of those houses to put into your places. You still have the point system, so your house is rated by the game. So the more that you decorate it and make it more fun and lively, the more points your home can earn. You earn high enough points, you can be rewarded with special items and money in-game to, again, continue to beautify your city, your town, your house, everything. Fishing is still a huge piece of what you've got to do, as well as catching bugs and digging up fossils to fill up the museum. You do need to beautify as much of the town as possible, which includes, in this go-round, watering flowers, fertilizing plants.
Sounds like Farmville.
You definitely want to travel to other friends' cities to see what fruits are native to them, so you can bring those back to your village and plant those as trees to have more rare fruit that you can sell.
Sounds like Wakfu.
Have a island that you can visit again, where previously on the GameCube you had to hook up your GBA in order to quote unquote go to the island. Now you can go to the island after you talk to previous mayor Tortimer the tortoise and earn medals for competing in different scavenger hunts and other match games and things like that to buy items that are special just to the island. But you can also bring back fruits and things like that. I brought back some lychee fruit that I'm going to try to plant and see what happens from the island. But you can also get the wetsuit, which allows you to deep sea dive. So there's all kinds of other sea creatures that you can
under the sea
capture to donate to the museum or to sell at the alpaca store. Additionally, one of the things that I haven't been able to get into yet, but I'm hoping to unlock later on this week, is the ability to scan QR codes. So they've built in a mechanic to this game where there are different outfits that you can get, as well as decorations for your house and things like that, that you can find as QR codes that are all over the place. You can find them on the web, on Nintendo sites, on boxes for various games. And those QR codes will unlock all different kinds of things. I actually had a friend of mine send me a graphic QR code that gives you the outfit that Dante wears in Devil May Cry that you can put on to your character as they're walking through the town. So there's all kinds of stuff. There's outfits from Chrono Crusade and different games, Nintendo games. There's a whole Link outfit that you can get. Really and truly, I'm having a lot of fun just kind of running around town, earning money. I found a chart online that basically, once you completely kit out your house as much as you possibly can, the total cost is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 7.6 million bells. Between adding on additional layers and then adding on additional rooms so that you can have a mansion. And I have no idea if I actually have enough space in the place where I put my house in my town to actually have a mansion or not. So we'll see if we get there. Right now I'm focused on getting the space opened so that the club can come into town so I can see DJ KK Slider, because that's really all it's about, is opening up the ability to have KK Slider come into your town and play some music. So
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know, right, and you really need to play this game, Panda, because it's so right up your alley. But I gotta say, for the most part, I'm really digging the game, and my only, like, negative thing that I have to say right now about New Leaf is that I wish it was on my Wii U and not on my 3DS. I feel like it's big enough. It's a big enough game, and it's a big enough title that it really should have been something that I could get and play.
Do you feel like they may port it over later?
I'll be real upset if they port it over later and don't let me bring my game over from my 3DS to my Wii U. I have no problem if they bring it over, as long as they allow me to bring my game over so I can have my town and I don't have to start all over from scratch. I'd be okay with that. But I feel like it should have launched for both the Wii U and the 3DS, because it's so big. Like, I would much prefer to have the second screen stuff that's happening on my 3DS happen on my Wii U controller and have it big and on the screen, because I can't play for long periods of time on my 3DS because I don't have an XL, so it's very uncomfortable for my hands for me to play for more than, you know, 20 minutes or so at a time without changing positions and all that kind of stuff.
Change positions.
And the game is so in depth. You know, one of the things about New Leaf is that it runs in new time, so a minute is a minute in the game. It's not a minute is an hour in the game. And so since there are so many things that are time sensitive, different fish that you have to catch are only available not only at different times of the day, but also different months of the year. Same thing with different bugs and things like that.
So I feel like I should get you a new planner for this year so that you can mark all the things you have to do in your Animal Crossing game, so that they don't bleed over into your reality.
I feel like I need to have a Animal Crossing calendar so that I know I'm going to be
like, able, oh my god, my rutabagas will be ready on November 12th.
I'm going to be able to catch a Napoleon fish probably within the next month between 4 a.m. and 9 a.m. Yay.
Which means you'll have to start waking up to play games.
Well, no, you can change the time of day when you go in to start the game at any point in time. But you just want to keep in mind that if you move too far in the future, you basically have abandoned or not been present in your town for that amount of time, bad things will happen. So flowers will die if you're not watering them on a daily basis. If you are supposed to meet people and you don't, they'll get pissy, they'll get upset, your ring will go down.
You didn't invite Jerome to the tea party.
They might actually leave your town. Your weeds will pop up. If you're not weeding regularly, they will. And so people will then become dissatisfied with the town and could leave if you're not beautifying the town all the time, which means not only planting new stuff and adding new developments like fountains and different recreational things for them to do, but also taking care of the ugly stuff like throwing away trash and picking up weeds. So if you go too many days without touching it, it's like a Tamagotchi. Bad things happen.
Man, so, Tamagotchis got me in trouble back in the
day. Yo, I had to stop with the Tamagotchis because I was like,
I was not supposed to bring one to middle school.
Oh, of course. You brought it to middle school.
And I had fed it. I'm like, oh man, it's totally not going to go off at all because I fed it and I played with it and I rocked it and everything. And in the middle of my literature class, beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And of course my English is just like, is that a Tamagotchi? I'm like, yes, sir. And he's like, I need to
take that. It's a Tamamachi now.
It's a Tatcha. It's mine now. And sure enough, he took it. He never gave it back.
Oh, see. No, I got my
Tamagotchi. He's the principal of that middle school now. I should ask him where my Tamagotchi at.
He probably gave it to his kids.
He did have kids.
I'm just saying. Easy peasy, best dad ever. Didn't cost him anything. Easy peasy,
beautiful. Here's your new toy. I didn't have to pay for it.
So, yeah. So, I am loving Animal Crossing New Leaf. I will make sure at least someplace, either on social at some point in time, more than likely on social at some point in time, put out my friend code so that you can come and see my town once I have it all boom fatty. If you want to gift me bells, because you've already...
give her all those bells.
No, because you can. I mean, you have to go to basically the ATM to pay off your loan, but you can send me gifts. So if you want to just send me, you know, some thousands of bells in the mail so I can pimp out my town because you feel bad for me.
Yeah, I just want you to know because I've just started. I'm going to go to my room at the end of this show and go get my giant cat bell and just bring it down. How many bells does that work?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. No, dog. I need... I've got 58,000 bells to pay off on my...
That's a lot of noise.
Of my second expansion so I can do my third expansion and put the next floor onto my house. So I can have a couple of floors.
What do you need all those floors for?
I need floors because I need the recreation center versus the sleep area. Because
you work out in real life, so you're going to work out in your game.
You know what? Don't judge me, Panda. Don't judge me. Okay? You don't go journeying all the time like you go journeying in Pokemon. I don't see you catching anything, let alone them all.
Sleep. Sleep.
What evs? So anyway, I'm saying if you are a fan of Animal Crossing in any way, shape, or form, you definitely want to make sure that you check out New Leaf, especially if you have a 3DS. I'm really enjoying it. And, you know, and as you brought up, Panda, I do hope that they port it to the Wii U, because frankly, I would play it more, and I think I would enjoy it just a little bit more if it was on my Wii U than being on my 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if my only complaint is that I want it on a bigger screen, then you must be doing something right.
Right.
Because that's my only complaint. So there you have it. You want more video games, anime, tech gadget stuff, then you want to make sure that you check out our written reviews over at www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You want more podcast awesome sauce, then you want to make sure that you go to our website, our homepage, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will take you to the long one. That's where you can get our updates on our podcast every week, kind of, sort of like clockwork.
Yes, kind of, sort of like clockwork.
Kind of, sort of.
You want to make sure that you get the brand new episodes when we put them out and publish them, which is typically on Mondays. Then you want to subscribe to our podcast. You can do it in the iTunes Music Store on your desktop, the iOS podcast application on your iOS device, or the Microsoft Store by searching for Electric Sisterhood in any of those stores and clicking the subscribe button to ensure that the moment we put out a brand new episode, it's downloaded to your device, to your place of choice that you would want to sit and enjoy and listen. But we're not the only thing that make up the land of Ash. We're not the only podcast in town. No, 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 no. We kick off the week on Mondays with a brand new episode of the Electric Sisterhood podcast, but on Tuesdays there's a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which is held down by our homeboy King Baby Duck and the crew of bastards over there, which talk about video games, true, but also all kinds of other stuff, like movies and music and indie music.
And girls?
Nah, I don't think they really talk about girls.
How about women?
Sometimes they talk about women. But TV, you know, all that kind of stuff that's more outside the realm of what we talk about, you'll find a home for that over there at B3. On Wednesday, there's a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is held down by our homeboy Zeus is Wild, and that's all about fresh new beats for your ear holes. It's oral pleasure, and I'm talking about the oral for your ears,
Right.
You heard me.
Sure we did.
Don't be like that. And then Thursday, you got issues.
Troll in the dungeon.
He got issues. The Issues program hosted by the Issues guy. You can call in live, talk about the issues that you want to bring to the table. I don't care what they are. He doesn't care what they are. Y'all can just have a good time chatting it out.
Let the healing begin.
And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, like I said, you can check out our written reviews, egmnow.com, more podcast episodes at electricsystem.com. We are all up in your socials. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh, and that's where you'll catch all of us just hanging out, sharing some fun, geeky things that we've come across with the week. You can ask us questions, suggest things for us to check out. If there's something you want to know how we feel about it or think about it or whatever, then you can ask us on our Facebook page. Make sure you ask us before Thursday so that way we can get it on the recording for the following week. I mean, it's just all good in the hood. And keep up with us on what we're doing, what we're talking about. We will share links to all of our new reviews, previews, and things like that on our Twitter account, twitter.com/ESH News. If you want to follow all the writers that make up the Land of Esh independently, then you want to go to my page, twitter.com/NinjaSista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Everybody who's anybody in the Land of Esh, you'll find them there. So with that, I got to turn to my sister and say, hey.
Hi.
What shit you digging this week? And don't say your birthday, because I'll stab you.
I was going to say Sierra's new single. Hello?
That's not her single.
No, her single's called I'm Out, and it's featuring Nicki Minaj.
And there's so much booty in that video.
Not as much as Major Lazer's bubble butt video. Yeah, guys, go check that shit out. And be ready for booty.
Okay.
What are you digging this week?
I am actually digging this Vine video that I found because I love Vines, and supercuts of Vines are the best, which are just, you know, like Snapchat 6 or 10 second videos or whatever of things. My favorite right now, which is, I don't know why it makes me laugh, but it does. Just go and search for how to wop and clean, or how to wop and WOP. Yes. How to wop and do laundry. Those two vines right there just made my week.
And you guys heard my favorite vine already in the show if you were paying attention.
Yes. So let's see if you can pick it out. Go to our Facebook page and comment and tell us what you think is Panda's favorite vine of the week. So as
forever.
Always, no, don't say forever, because there may be more vines that come out in your life.
I don't know. I don't know, because that one is pretty top.
So yeah, like, I gotta say right now, Vine, those two vines and just Vine supercuts in general, wop, like, are my wop, shit this wop, week. Wop. So as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we will be back next week, guys.
See ya.